Fraser sundown on neida alamois London, Ontarios. Ja puer ehket, Fraser. Good evening.
Good evening, good evening.
You were running around without your telephone, but now finally you are with your telephone and we have connection and
yes.
So first of all, how are you doing? It's been long time, no seen, but finally heard.
Oh yes, it's been a while. I've been doing great. Really busy. My music and everything out of school as well. Very busy.
Yeah. What's that noise?
I'm not sure.
Ah, okay. Well, so I briefly tried to tell you what we have going on here in Finland. And Petra Laiti is in the Finnish Sami Youth Organization, and she's also in this discussion. And my colleague Heli Huovinen, we are four people now in this conversation. And So we've been talking with Petra, and we've been going through this, what has been in Finland for the last 2 weeks, and in the Finnish media, and about the headdresses. And so it is probably pretty familiar for you back at home, where you come from. So this cultural appropriation, what do you think about it?
Oh, yes. I believe, like, these headdresses have so much more meaning than the way that they're being presented in the media today. I know we see it all the time, and I kind of look at it as kind of like a disrespect thing, because, like I said, the headdresses have meaning, and it's like it's kind of putting our culture on this platform where it doesn't seem to fit our perspective, or there's nothing there that recognizes who we are as Indigenous people that carry those headdresses in a certain way, and so that's kind of the way that I look at it. My perspective as an Indigenous individual, Oneida Nation, it's a disrespect.
We met in Ritturidu, and you were then wearing your traditional regalia.
Yes.
And so how familiar you are with these headdresses, and what is your connection in that sense? Like, how is that something ancient that, or do you see it every day? Like for us wearing our traditional regalia, that you can tell people you know who wear this and why they wear this, and it is not something ancient that people can exoticize this.
Oh yes, for sure. Like this is something that we've always carried as people in my nation. For my headdress, we've always carried it, and throughout time, as time went on, it kind of evolved into what it is today, and that's what it's something. It belongs to my identity. The headdress that I wear, it tells who I am. So like if I were to wear my headdress, just by looking at the headdress, you can tell what nation I come from, and it identifies me. So that's kind of where it came from. And yes, it does come from ancient times, but we don't classify it as something that's just in the history. We don't ever look at these kinds of things like our regalia or our clothing as something that's long and gone. We still carry those things today.
So, Petra.
Yes.
So now, Fraser, you. Petra has been talking for you, defending the headdresses. Petra, now you can tell how you did it.
Well, this is a really long sequence of events. But basically, where it all started was the local beauty pageant in my hometown of Helsinki published a series of photos where all of the contestants in the beauty pageant, they were wearing the headdresses or similar ones to what could easily be interpreted as Native American headdresses. And the organization that I'm chairing for, Masami Nuarat, we decided to criticize this, which we did. And after that, the thing that really, really sort of struck a chord with people was the fact that after we had criticized the cultural appropriation, the beauty pageant or the social media in which they published these photos, they actually blocked us from that media and removed our criticizing comments. And so they accidentally caused an effect where people who had just been following the discussion suddenly realized how wrong they were to use the headdresses. And so they got massive amounts of comments saying, you should take these photos down, this is wrong, you should listen to the Sami youth. And after that, it's been 2 weeks of really intense discussion on cultural appropriation and colonialism in present day. And the last development is that a journalist in one of the biggest medias in Finland wore one of these headdresses live on primetime TV on Friday night. And so they're sort of, and the reason for that, according to her, because she's a conservative journalist, she said that she wanted to sort of test the limits of people getting upset. And so in her opinion, she's just sort of doing it for the discussion and for the sake of provoking questions and provoking dialogue, whereas we obviously would say that that's not an excuse. But basically, that's the entire case in a very, very shortened way of saying.
Right. Yes, that's we see it all over here in Canada, even in the United States, happening throughout. A lot of artists too, mainstream artists are wearing the headdress, and yeah, it's really hard to educate somebody, I guess the best way to put it, and get them to see that side that we're on, because it's I'm not too sure like what they think and how they believe that it's okay to fantasize, I guess you can say, our culture, and do it in that way. And it's a little bit degrading as well, especially to Indigenous women, because it's making these are models that are wearing these headdresses, and so it brings this whole picture of Indigenous women as something to sexualize, and in mainstream media by everybody, and so our people are looked at in that way, and that's really bad, because we have this whole thing in Canada here that there's an inquiry for missing and murdered Indigenous women, and you know, we're still taking action on that, and we're still trying to raise awareness to our missing and murdered Indigenous women around Canada, and so it causes more of that. It causes more people to look at our women as just something that's like a beauty, something beautiful, like they can sexualize, and you know, it creates more of those situations throughout.
I agree, and that was one of the reasons why we wanted to criticize it, because it was not just appropriation, but also used as a tool for beauty pageantry, which I thought was really sort of horrendous.
Mm-hmm, yeah, like Hollywood has always portrayed our people as our women as that, in that kind of way, such as like the Indian princess. Throughout media, there's all these plays that have that in there. In fact, I'm studying these plays right now in school, Pocahontas, and that's what they have her as, is something to sexualize, or something that's like a you know, quote unquote, I guess, Indian princess, they call it. It's kind of a little bit degrading, but at the same time, we got to understand that it's kind of like a lack of education in our culture. But I think like the reason that we kept our culture so, I guess, secretive and not putting so much out there, the meaning behind headdresses, so to say, and our clothing is because we were afraid of losing it, because throughout our history we've had these residential schools and different things where we've had to keep our culture hidden, we've had to keep our culture secretive, and so those teachings don't get out there to just like everybody or to the mainstream. But today we see it happening more and more, and I'm happy that there's more people learning more and more, and that's what we need. And I think like one of the artists, I think maybe it was Pharrell, he was wearing a headdress at one point, and he had apologized, and in fact he was even seen at a powwow recently, and so so everybody's learning together, and that's, you know, like, I think that's the road we need to take. That's where this discussion needs to go. It needs to go into the education discussion about indigenous culture.
Mm. So, Fraser, you yourself, when you also you sing, and how do you say when I yoik, what do you do?
In our language, we just say "gudla nod," and what that means in English, it means like I make the noise with the instrument.
Gudla nod.
Yeah, I make the noise with the instrument. Yes.
Mm. But we don't have so many times the instrument, so we do it without the instrument.
and when you when you perform, do you use your traditional clothes?
Yes. Usually headdress and everything, all my clothing.
How many headdresses do you have?
Me, I have two. One of the headdresses is a little bit older. It comes from an era, like a 1700s era in our people, where quill work was used. And so I have that kind of headdress, and then I have like a newer version of the headdress where the number of feathers that are on the headdress represents the nation and where you come from. And also, I know those headdresses that are being worn, they're called war bonnets by the media, by the models there, the war bonnets. Yes, and they belong to a different tribe. And from my understanding, is that there's so much meaning behind those headdresses there. And I know, like, for each feather has to be earned. And there's a lot of teachings that go along with that.
We just discovered today when we were talking about that in Finnish there is this phrase that you say, oh yeah yeah, saada taas yksi uusi sulka hattuun.
Get another feather.
Feather to your hat.
Yes.
And then we're thinking, oh shit. And now we have to start taking like now you finally can take another feather out of your hat. We have to reverse it. Have you, Petra, thought about that saying in Finnish?
Never, but it's a really interesting observation.
Yeah, so we discovered this while in this conversation. So yeah, we can do something here too. So, Fraser, I found one of your songs with DJ Shub.
Oh yes,
Smoke Dance One. What can you tell about that?
Oh, it was such a great project. It's such an honor to be working with such a talented DJ. He's from a tribe called Red.
Yeah,
I know he's been to Radu as well. I think he went to Radu. I know they did. A Tribe Called Red went there. But yes, it was last year around this time, when he decided to ask me to record. And so I was amazed when he asked me. I was just in awe. I was like, of course, I'm definitely gonna come and record. And so ever since then. Hello.
Yeah, you're back in line.
Okay. So ever since then, it's just been ongoing.
Again.
Okay.
Breaking up.
Okay. So there's been ongoing projects with DJ Shub since last year up until now, mixing my vocals along with his DJing skills there. And Smoke Dance 1, I guess it was kind of like a last-minute thing added to his album, his recent album, Powwow Step. And so he decided to do that, to add the Smoke Dance into Powwow Step. So I think even the Smoke Dance song that we made together, it's kind of like it's a genre on its own, just like the Powwow Step, just like the music that he makes with Northern Cree. It has its own sound, it has its own vibe to it. And so it's just been crazy meeting all these people and attending these events and these songs coming up and everybody liking it. It's kind of like a little bit of the opposite reaction of what I expected. Because in our culture, we always talk about that, blending our songs with the music, I guess the mainstream music. Mm-hmm. And so in our ways, we talk about the two-row wampum belt, and it talks about our ways being in our own canoe and these other ways being in the ship. And so a lot of people have discussed that and talked about how it reflects that whole teaching, the two-row wampum, when we do things like that.
Next,
I find, like, that's what's happening to us. Just like these headdresses, for example. This is the perfect example. These headdresses, it's like these people are taking from our ways and putting them into their ways. And so it's not mixing well. And so our people have always haven't done that, but that's kind of like what we're doing, and it's kind of going against our teaching. So, but the thing is that there's a positive reaction, and what is happening with this whole music that's happening with the Tribe Called Red, and as well as DJ Shub and other DJs who are in this whole movement here. And so we're getting a good response, we're getting a good reaction, and the youth are loving it. And both DJ Shub and I, we both agree that the music that we're making is like a doorway to more culture, to more of our culture. So when people hear the music, when they hear those songs, they familiarize with it. If someone's not so inclined to the culture, because we have a lot of that out here. And so when someone doesn't have that much knowledge and they hear that music, they're able to connect with that music, and then they're able to connect with these people that carry this knowledge, and they can learn their identity and go back to those ways and practice that knowledge.
Well, and also one thing that we're talking about, Powwow Step. So Powwow in itself is also something that has kept your culture alive and brings the families and people together as it has mm-hmm. been going on. So it's something that is really important for you too.
For sure, yes.
So going on, do you know, has this changed as also this music now what you have created? Or are these very traditional?
No, the music hasn't changed. Some singers will make up songs, and that's a little bit of a change, but today we still carry our ceremonial songs. we still carry the ways that go with those songs, the stories behind those songs. But there's these other songs that we have where singers will make up, but they're still a part of the culture, and there might be songs that where they don't have that ceremonial value, I guess you can say, but they also carry that cultural significance at the same time. And so the songs that are being sung, that are being mixed by the DJ, like my song with DJ Shub, it's a song that's meant for everybody. So Smoke Dance in itself, the whole dance in itself, is meant for everybody. And also they do the Smoke Dance at powwows too. It's in the powwow circle. And so I guess it does fit the whole genre of powwow step. But at the same time, we keep our sacred songs within our community. And we don't ever put those into the mainstream like that.
So now with the Smoke Dance, now everybody are allowed to dance, and those who have headdresses and own and belong to them, they can use it and their traditional regalia as they know that is their tradition, and they can use it. And those who don't know that is their right to use it, they don't use it, but the music is free for everybody to dance, right?
Yeah.
Anything with Petra?
Well, I've been just listening. This is really interesting to me.
As it is for us too, but I'm afraid we are running out of time soon. So maybe we should go and listen some Smoke Dance.
Yes.
Yes. Do you guys happen to have my new album there?
Whatever we can find from, you know, where we can, well, where we can find it now. I forgot to take time to that, but where can I find it?
There's my album's on iTunes as well as cdbaby.com, and it's called Love Is a War Dance.
Yeah.
And it was recently nominated for an award this year.
Because I have it on my computer, but I don't have the time to rip it. I have this song what we were talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. That's DJ Shove and I, and it's been an honor. And hopefully there's more to come. I know we have some things on the go right now, so it's pretty cool. And it's been an honor being able to talk on this subject here, on this headdresses. And hopefully,
thanks for the input.
Pardon me?
Thanks for the input. It's really valuable for us too to hear your perspective.
Yes, for sure. I hope people learn. That's all I like to do is teach, you know, and put that message out there.
But okay, how many days do you guys think is gonna go until there's another case like this in the media?
Who knows?
Take a guess.
I don't even know if you want to say days, but
okay, seconds, minutes. I was too optimistic. Damn you. But as he said, music is one way, and we have our ways, and we have had our ways. So why not in the future too? And tomorrow, Petra, you guys are talking about. In fact, Fraser, for you to know, there is this a lot about when Rauna Kuokkanen is talking tomorrow. She's been a professor in Toronto University and talking about the colonialism and the 150 years. History of Canada, and here we're talking about the history 100 years of Finland, and they're talking about, and Petra is going to attend to this discussion seminar tomorrow, so we will hear about that later next week, this weekend.
Awesome, that sounds great. I know there's a lot of similarities. We have a lot in common with our history there, for sure.